Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. These words were written by John Newton, the well-known songwriter. They were true of himself, but it's also true of each and every one of us if we know the blessing of the gospel. God began with a wretch, and when we are saved, it is amazing grace. Listen to the third stanza. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Reading from God's holy word, as Paul wrote it to Timothy, we read here how God applies that amazing grace, not only the first time, but also again and again, having to revive the church, and here giving a picture of the church not continuing as it should, and what Timothy was to do in light of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray that we will do the same today and pray as Christ said. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the fields that are whiter than the harvest, where the laborers are few. All we need to do that today for more, and then those that are preaching to do as Paul charged Timothy here. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, He who alone is the door into Thy presence of love, forgiveness, reconciliation, every blessing needed, righteousness, sanctification, wisdom, and redemption, as Paul could write to the church at Corinth. And we pray that each one of us may have that blessing, that we may have it in truth and power, that we may have it also in desire, when we do not have it as much as we should have, as Paul desired more of the power of the resurrection of Christ, stating that he had not yet attained to that for which he was apprehended. Help us to know, Father, how short we are in light of what Paul did, and what he could do, what he did do, and how he is accused of turning the world upside down. Father, many of us are hardly known, and we pray, Father, that we might make the gospel known, that we will also be accused of it. And even as Paul could say here to Timothy, endure afflictions. And as he could also say, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Help us to examine ourselves. We are not living in such a good society that because of that, there's no persecution. We know what is there for many, but it may be because we are not living godly in Thee and in Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Help us to do so. Help us to examine ourselves. And as Paul could say to the church at Corinth and to us as well, except Christ Jesus be in us, we'd be reprobate. We pray, Lord Jesus, that Thou wilt come to us, and as one song could say, into my heart, Lord Jesus, come and stay, dwell there. All of us, we need Thee, and without Thee, we are in darkness. Thou alone art the light of the world. And we pray, Father, that because of Christ, Thou wilt send Thy Spirit to take the things of Christ and show them to us. That Thou wilt, through Thy Spirit, lead into all truth in the church once again, making the church one in the truth. We pray, Father, for the spiritual blessings first. Pray also and give thanks for the temporal blessings, the natural blessings. We give thanks that in this area we are so blessed in food and raiment and shelter, so blessed in the elements of nature when others have suffered under it, fire, wind, earthquakes, volcanoes, drought, floods, all these calamities have come to many. We pray for them and for Thy mercy on them. And as the prophet could say, in judgment, remember mercy. And especially, Father, that Thou wilt, through these judgments, teach many the ways of the kingdom, that we have here no abiding city, but we must look for the city of whom Thou art the builder. Use these calamities in nature as a means to that end. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray especially for those that will be left in their sickness till death, that Thou will prepare them through Christ, giving them the greatest blessing. We pray for those that have to go through life and suffering as well. We pray for our homes, the needs in them. Especially we pray for the broken homes, that they might be reconciled, the children in those homes, that they might be watched over by Thee. We pray for those elderly. Pray for those in sorrow. Pray for other needs that there are in so many different spheres. And we give thanks again for the many blessings that we have and those needed. We pray that Thou would give through Christ, in whose name we do give thanks. Amen. As we look at this once again, it was there for Timothy these 1900 years ago. It's still there for us, exactly the same. From Him who is named Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It was true before Paul was called, and Timothy as well. It was true at that time, and it is true today, that the Lord Jesus is on the right hand of God, both making intercession for us, but also directing and waiting till his enemies will be made his footstool, that that number that he is making intercession for will not only be saved and increased, but blessed, and especially his prayer that he prayed a number of times just before he died, first for the apostles and then for us who would believe on him through their word, that we might be one. We need this word to be made one. As we saw somewhat last week, different doctrines that are there. Paul mentions that. He says, profitable for doctrine. The first thing he mentioned in verse 16 of the third chapter. It was repeated again in the fourth chapter. And then it was one of the last things that was mentioned in that second verse. Then the first thing he said is preach the word, and then reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Both times these different things are mentioned, and both times doctrine is mentioned. And we need to think about that. We are in the time when, as he said further, they will not endure sound doctrine. I've heard people complain, well, I don't like doctrine. What they're really saying is, I don't like the teaching of God's word concerning this or that or other things. Everything needs to be understood in the light of God's word. Everything from creation to the day of judgment. As John Bunyan wrote, from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And there's much doctrine in Pilgrim's Progress concerning many things, teaching us, as well as all the doctrine of God's word that he took from it and put in that wonderful book, Pilgrim's Progress. A very good book to read. Very instructive. In the way of repentance, the way of faith, the way of obedience, the way of God's way, as we sang, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It is amazing grace if God wakes us up, that we realize, as Christian did, he was living in the city of destruction. If he stayed there, it was there in allegory, but if he stayed there, sleeping, he would have been destroyed. He knew he had to flee, he had to move, he had to go toward the way of the celestial city. And I want to try to tell you the whole story of the book. I hope you've read it. I hope you will read it. It is still being printed after these 300 years that John Bunyan was put in prison because he preached, and he wrote the book in prison, and he is still preaching by it. And he is doing what Paul said here, preach the word. It is one book outside the Bible that you can read and read and read again and almost always find something new that you didn't notice before. That's true of two books, that book and the Bible. No matter how often we read the Bible, there will be something that we haven't learned before. It just shows that we need to learn and learn and learn much more than we ever did in different ways. And here are some of the ways that God teaches us through his word that is for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And I would like to think especially of that word reproof, as it's given here in the third chapter, verse 16, and repeated again, spoken slightly different in the second verse of the fourth chapter. There we have reprove, rebuke. All of it is reproof. We need to have that, and we need to have it in doctrine. We spoke of that last week somewhat. Paul had to reprove the Galatians strongly. He even warned in the first chapter that if anyone brought any other gospel, let him be cursed, repeating that twice. Anything different than the plain gospel of Christ Yes, and that will include
doctrine.
We need to know who the Savior was. That's a doctrine. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, took on him the form of a man, and went to the death of the cross. Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he said, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. There we have the doctrine of creation. Christ did it. He's the creator. Paul told the church at Corinth the same message. Christ created all things. John basically gives us also that message. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that was made without him. So we have that doctrine of creation and Christ being the creator with the Father, with the Spirit. What was the first thing? Light. Let there be light. That is as true spiritually as it was true in the natural world. It was all darkness. Let there be light. The work of the Spirit. That is the first work of the Spirit as well, beginning to teach us through Christ. The Spirit taking the things of Christ, who is the light of the world. And he will himself, as a prophet, reprove us. He gave the wonderful instruction to Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Also gave the wonderful message of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It speaks not only of the love of God, which it does plainly, wonderfully, but it also speaks that it is to perishing sinners. If we want to know the message, we should say, well, why am I perishing? Because you sinned. And then we see, after that, the message of Christ that we don't like to hear that. The Lord Jesus telling Nicodemus and us, men love darkness rather than light. We don't want to be reproved. We would probably say, I'd like more light. Do we know that we are in darkness until we have the light? And it's true. Every one of us not only are in the dark, but we love darkness rather than light. If we don't think that's true, that's a stronger statement than is true of you and me. The Lord Jesus goes on to make even a stronger statement. Everyone that is evil hates the light, hates the truth, every bit of it. The truth of doctrine, reproof, correction. And if we hate that, we will also hate instruction in righteousness. Not believing we need another righteousness than we have. Totally from another, totally from Christ. We talked to some of the doctrines last week that Paul had to reprove in Galatia. And as we mentioned then, remember, Timothy was from Galatia. But he was not one with the Galatians. So there could be there those that had the truth rightly when the Galatians had to be so strongly reproved and rebuked. Who hath bewitched thee? And asked them different questions and gave them strong warnings. We won't go into all of that again, but read it, believe it. It's there, all scripture. And Galatians are part of that scripture that are there for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, as well as every other part of scripture. It's an example to us, an example of warning. Others are that also, the Corinthians. And then think of the letter to the church at Laodicea. Christ said to them, first of all, that he was the faithful witness. He said, though you say you are rich and need of nothing, increased with goods, not knowing that thou art wretched and miserable
and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. One of the things that he said in describing them in their awful, sinful ways was naked. Naked before God. No righteousness to cover that nakedness. But along with it he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There we again have the word rebuke. Or the same as reproof. Christ does it. Paul was telling Timothy to do it. And God is, through the pen of Paul, telling us to do it. Other places we read, exhort one another. Sometimes that's with encouragement to do things. Other times it may be with reproof, stop doing this or that. And here Christ says, as many as I love, telling that church that I rebuke and chasten. And then, so different than they were, he said, because you say these things, you are lukewarm. Now he is saying to them, be zealous, be busy, do something now. It's urgent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He also gave the warning that he would even spew them out of his mouth. So there was a reason to be serious. Be urgent in it. Sometimes we read of the teaching and the practice in the Bible of prayer and fasting. We can also read it in history. There were those who fasted, both in Scripture and history. I've done it in the past, but ashamed to say, not recently. And there's as much reason today to do it as there ever has been in my life, for myself and others, for our individual lives, for our families, for our churches, for the nation, for the world, of both Jew and Gentile. There's reason to cry out to God that we will hear the rebukes, the reprovings that are there in the Word, both by example and teaching. We need it in so many areas. Rebuked for the negative and the positive. All the negatives in God's holy law. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not murder. Which would be a better translation than thou shalt not kill. There is place to kill for government, for protection of a nation when others invade or do things. But there is never reason for murder, killing somebody simply out of hatred, or maybe some other reasons. I've known people who have killed because they robbed somebody. That's murder, and it's wrong. We need to be reproved that we are murdering innocents, that young people are murdering each other in the schools, that many are murdering each other on the streets and in each other's homes. It's being done. Terrible. As some would say, if parents can murder the unborn, is it strange then that young people murder each other in school? And they are parents. When they murder an unborn child, a parent does it. A mother, and often the father, is guilty. Sometimes the father more guilty than the mother. The mother would probably sometimes save the child. But the one who is the father doesn't want to be responsible, doesn't want to do what the Scripture tells us to do. If there is immorality, there is a sexual relationship, that man is to take that woman. That's the teaching of Scripture. And now we are so confused and so much literally in the multitude of sins that some would probably say, I don't know what direction to go or to who. We are in a time when we just say with Daniel, to us belongeth confusion of face as it is this day. And how we need so desperately what the song said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Have many of you have sung it? Have you sung it in truth that you've learned your wretchedness as Christ described it? Thomas Boston, a Scottish preacher from earlier years, said that when God begins to call a sinner, he finds him in this state, as described here by Christ. That is often true in the religious world. And we have many traditions. We have many wrong doctrines, as we discussed some of them a little bit in our last message. The wrong doctrine of what is often called the covenant. There are people who call themselves covenant theologians, even speak to God as our covenant God, and we as covenant people. That is sometimes terms used by some more than others, and when someone doesn't believe it, the same as they do or teach it, I've heard people say, well, you don't believe in the covenant. Well, the sad thing is, not many believe in the covenant alike. Many would say, I believe in the covenant of grace, but not believe it together, as we should. And that is where we need reproof. Search the Scriptures. See what the Scripture says about God's covenant of grace. It's not a term in Scripture, but there is a covenant that God deals with us in grace, and not just in giving us His Son. That is grace. But it goes even beyond that. He gives also the Spirit. And as Christ said, when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me. And the Spirit can do that, convincing us, reproving us that we haven't believed in Christ as we should. We need to believe in Him in doctrine as well as what He did on the cross. We need to believe in Him in His teaching. He's the prophet, priest, and king. Believe in Him in all the ways that God shows us His beloved Son. Hear Him. God said it from heaven. God said it to Moses, a prophet like unto you I will raise up. God said it by Peter, repeating those words to Moses and saying, the people will be put out from among the people if they do not hear the words of that prophet. Part of them are coming out here through Paul to Timothy and to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We must do it truly. We must do it in patience. We must do it in love. But it must be done. Are we doing it? Are we hearing it? For God's glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.